Hello, everyone. This is Noah Villaverde, host of Blank Green Canvas, back again with another episode of the podcast. And once again, I am joined by
John Maffeo, as always.
Thank you, John, for coming in again and everything else. And before we get into our discussion of this series finale for WandaVision, I'm just going to ask, how have you been this last week and what have you been watching and whatnot?
I've been good. Just been hanging out, working, doing the same old jazz. Just celebrated my girlfriend's birthday, so there's some balloons on the wall and having fun with all that. Actually, theaters opened up in New York City this past Friday, too. So I actually went and watched the movie yesterday immediately, as soon as I possibly could. I saw Chaos Walking with Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland. It was a fine movie. It was better than I expected it to be, but being in a theater felt like being at home again, in a way. Even though we have masks and stuff, and it's still a pandemic out there. Safe precautions, and all that. It was nice to be there.
Of course, yeah. Like the last time I went to go to the theater, I believe, was in September when it was still open here. I was able to go check out, they were playing Akira in 4K on the big screen. It was my first time watching that film, and I thought, why not watch it on the big screen for the first time? That was an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was absolutely something. And, you know, like, that's cool. Like, Chaos Walking had a really troubled production, as we know, you know, for some who may be aware. So that's interesting to hear, you know, but I'm glad that you were able to go see a movie in the theater. It's nice. Look, we have great TVs and great sound systems nowadays, but nothing beats a theater.
Yeah, nothing comes close.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. You know, in regards to what I've watched this week, I watched Raya and the Last Dragon with some family, and I will get into my thoughts on that movie in a later video, probably saving coming it. Maybe this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So keeping people in suspense, obviously, you know, I'm looking forward to talking about it. Let's just say that. And overall, that's really all I've watched besides obviously the finale for WandaVision, which we will now get into discussing. So after 8 weeks, John, can you believe it? Look at us. 8 weeks.
Thus, I don't believe it. No.
I can't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hot ones.
Look at us.
Look at us. Who would have thought? You know, but for real though, like after 8 weeks, we have all 9 episodes of WandaVision, the first ever Marvel Cinematic Universe show on Disney Plus. And there has been a lot of talks about this finale in particular, which is rightfully called the series finale. So all the speculation about whether or not this will get a season 2 should be put to bed now that we know exactly what this series entails and how it's just an event series. But I gotta say, it was an interesting watch, to say the least, this whole series, and I'd say this finale as well. I just want to ask, what were your thoughts on the finale so in general?
In general, I enjoyed it and I was satisfied by it. After all the speculation we've had over the past month and a half or so, like I was able to put all my theories aside and just accept this for what it was. And it was really more of an emotional payoff for Wanda and Vision. And it was more self-contained than I expected it to be. And I feel like there are some things that I kind of like, I'm like, yeah, you know, this is some typical Marvel fare. But overall, I was pretty fulfilled by how they wrapped up this story. And I still have questions for where they're going to go with things. It's just the wild stuff that we came up with, not nearly as wild as we thought it was going to be. But that's fine to me. It's perfectly fine. What about you?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. In regards to being an emotional catharsis for Wanda herself, I thought that this episode really hit it out of the park in regards to her emotional arc and her dealing obviously with her trauma of losing all her loved ones, you know, losing her kids and losing Vision again and all that, dealing with all that. I thought in regards to all that stuff, I thought they really nailed it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the finale. I'll say that. I liked the finale, but I understand why some may feel very disappointed by the finale, sure. You know, and yeah. I somewhat share a little bit of it, you know, but I'm not somebody who wants to judge something based on what I think it ought to be rather than what I think it really is, right. You know, but we'll obviously get into some of the actual details that have divided some on this finale. But I got to say, though, like I found it very emotionally fulfilling for Wanda herself. in terms of just being a character piece for her, I thought they really nailed it. And I can't stress it enough, man. Elizabeth Olsen is just incredible in this whole show.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Stunning in this show. Like, the way she just brings all the emotions and lays them out on the table, it makes looking back on all the previous episodes and give so much emotional context to it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what I think the show has done so well with her as a character, with Vision, and even all the other characters that surround this show. You know, like all the MCU returning guests that come on that help enrich the world more. But also because of the charisma of the actors, they really nail it here, which makes you excited for like characters that were ancillary, like Randall Park, obviously, as Jimmy Woo, or even Kat Dennings as Darcy. You know, like these are like side characters from other Marvel movies, but I found them entertaining here. You know, so like I look forward to what they continue on with the story, and obviously with what Wanda goes through next, but we'll get into those details right now. So
let's get into
it. The finale picks up where the last episode left off, after, you know, Agatha Harkness name drops her as the Scarlet Witch, and through that the chaos magic is eventually interrupted by the Vision. And this Vision is the same body of the original Vision we know, but obviously it's turned all white and everything else. Now, Wanda is excited and emotionally, like, fulfilled initially, thinking, oh, wow, Vision's back. And then, of course, we know, nah.
It's about to turn on her, literally, as he tries to crush her head.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting to see. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting to see, like, this kind of tension and action with it in a Marvel movie or series, but set in a very small suburban town, you know, having all that happen. You know, obviously
some explosions,
we know,
and a lot of chaos. Yeah, and this, yeah, absolutely. Although I get a little bit, I don't know if you remember, I got some Man of Steel vibes from
when Vision encounters
Vision, and the explosion in the background. Like, literally, this is when he, the Zod battle in Smallville.
Oh, definitely. This definitely felt like I got a lot of those vibes, you know, definitely. And so, yeah, we have the two Visions come together as they both fight with one another. White Vision and the conditional Vision that Wanda created within her own Westview world. And they have this discussion in, I believe it's the library, right? Was it the library?
Yes.
And they have a philosophical discussion that only what Visions could have, essentially. And interestingly enough, he grabs his head and implants all the missing memories back to the original Vision's body. And then he realizes who he really is. But I got to say, one thing that kind of caught me off guard is that he just takes off and we don't hear from him again in this episode.
Yeah, so he's just picking daisies somewhere for all we know. But where would he go?
Yeah, like,
I don't know where he would go. Like,
I think it's kind of similar to how the new Gamora, you know, the Gamora that happens at the end of Endgame, you know, is a different Gamora than the one we know, obviously, because this Gamora did not meet Peter yet or the rest of the Guardians. Right. So obviously we'll find out later on. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen with this Vision, you know.
Yeah, although I kind of like, I don't need Vision to come back into the story unless it's good, but I have, obviously they have something nice or interesting planned for him if he's just going to be wandering around.
Oh yeah, we know White Vision's out there somewhere, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if he somehow factors into Doctor Strange 2, which we'll get into, obviously, you know. And then let's talk about probably the most divisive element of this episode real quick. I think you know where I'm going here. So at the end of episode 7, we see that Monica notices there's something going on in this bunker. And then all of a sudden, Pietro, or as we know, Fietro, comes in saying Snoop is going Snoop. And then everybody's like excited in one way what this might entail for this character. Obviously, there have been debates and theories about what Evan Peters' role in this show is. Like, is he... like a nod to, is he the same Quicksilver we know from the X-Men movies? Is he just a fun fan cast and something else? Maybe he's Mephisto, which was the common fan theory or whatever. He's got to be something more. Well, they really kind of just put a damper on all those things. I felt like this episode, for some people, it was a big middle finger to them and like them, all their speculating, but that's a whole other discussion that we'll get into, obviously. It's revealed as Monica is in his basement, which I got to say, this setting kind of reminded me a little bit of his own room in Days of Future Past, like having his own little world.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but there are some parallels there.
But then Monica notices this paper on the ground, and it shows this guy's face, and his name is actually Ralph Bonner, which... obviously, like, boner joke.
Boner.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead would have liked that.
Exactly. It was something like that. And then, obviously, Monica, because of her new powers, she finds a way to pin him down. And then we never hear from him. We never hear from him again after that. It's just...
he's just some stoner in West Point and Westville.
Yeah, in Westview. Yeah, exactly. Like, Westview. He's just some random stoner. Although I just realized, I looked it up recently. Like, remember in the first few episodes when Agnes, as we know as Agatha now, she mentioned an off-screen husband named Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph Bonner. Maybe it's just her way of using him as like an assistant, you know? So maybe I think that's who she was referring to, trying to keep the facade up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, and in regards to this element of the story, I had a feeling this version of Pietro, Evan Peters, was probably just going to be something else. Although I'll admit my fingers were still crossed that it would have been related to the ones that we know from the X-Men universe. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, like, I'll admit I was a little like let down with how anticlimactic the reveal was. Just a little bit. Like, I'm not as like frustrated as some other fans are, which I get. Mm-hmm. I get, especially since the weekly release strategy adds a lot of anticipation and speculation about what goes on.
Yeah,
I think my issue is more so how, and a lot of people have said this, it kind of feels like a repeat of Ben Kingsley in Iron Man 3, you know, in regards to like what is presented and then it turns out to be a joke. And I admit, I actually enjoyed the joke of Ben Kingsley, you know, being just Trevor Slattery, you know, and knowing that there's an actual Mandarin out there who we're about to meet later this year on the big screen.
Right.
You know, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't know if you saw some of these jokes. Some people were joking, what if in Spider-Man No Way Home, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are in it, but they're just playing, like, just some random dudes in New York?
I mean, and they were
joking
point,
about.
Yeah, I could. If that happened now, I would. I'm trying to set. Yeah, I could. I don't know.
I hope it's not
my expectations
the case
for that movie are now different because of the ending Level of the show.
Yes. I do believe they'll be in it. I'll say that. I do believe they'll be in it, but like, and I do think that they will be who they are. I understand trying to be careful, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, and we just never hear from him again at the end of that moment of the episode. He's not mentioned. He's not in the crowd. He's probably just chilling in his basement.
Mm-hmm. My only thing with this whole thing is, I understand where people, like, I'm not disappointed by it, like, in retrospect now, but
sure.
the way they kind of baited people, it seems like, I don't know, I can understand why fans got speculative because of the week-to-week thing, and they knew damn well at the end of the episode that people were going to, like, go, like, what does this mean? So
oh,
to have it just be
of
like
course.
That, I can see why people get disappointed or mad at it. I can't fault the show for doing what it does, but there is, like, it is kind of like, ooh, it gets you, like, interested in the show just to not do anything with that character.
That's the thing with like fan theories, and we've had recent examples in recent years in regards to how sometimes people envision something in their head, and when they don't get it, they end up getting really disappointed, and they kind of use that as their opinion against the film, regardless of the film's quality in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess probably the biggest example of this in recent years is The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where people set up something in their heads, and then the movie just didn't go in the ways they expected and or hoped, and you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, it's fun to speculate, don't get me wrong, you know, like,
I agree, it is fun, but you have to understand that that's all it is speculation. None of this is concrete.
None of it's concrete, and it's part of the fun. Don't get me wrong, speculating and fan theorizing, it's part of the fun of all these discussions, but it shouldn't be the root of what you think would make something good if it doesn't turn out exactly the way you hoped or even as good as you hoped it would be. Yeah. I share some of the disappointment a little bit. I'm not like incredibly bummed out. I just kind of felt like, oh, okay, like you could have done a little more with that, you know, but who knows, maybe Evan Peters signed on for more in the future, because you know how these Marvel deals go. Because I think like Agatha Hark, like Catherine Hahn, I don't think that's the last we'll see of her. I don't think it's the last we'll see of her.
Yeah, especially if we're diving more into Scarlet Witch's story, they'll probably, there's more likely of a chance that she shows back, at least definitely she shows back up again. At one point she shows back up.
Mm-hmm. You know, although I will admit, I kind of hope we see Evan Peters back, because I just like seeing him in this world.
He'll be like a Sonic character who like knows everything about the Avengers, and he'll have some expositional moments. Like
he'll be like the Michael Pena. You know,
yeah, he just knows everything about everybody. So like he kind of comes in as like a consultant.
I'm curious to how all that turns out there. But then obviously, you know, so the Vision leaves, you know, and then more fights occur as Wanda has to deal with Agatha in the air. And then she finally gets her real suit that we see in the comics. Albeit, yes, great. Like the headpiece and everything else, you know. I got to admit, I got a kick out of the Halloween episode and the color scheme of her outfit, which is obviously a tribute to the original comic, you know? So I like, mm-hmm. I like more brighter. When it comes to Marvel, I like costumes to be a little more vibrant in their look.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, I get it. It's trying to be more realistic looking and trying to make it not look goofy, you know, like more muted, but I still dig the suit, and I especially love her with the headpiece. It just feels right.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it looks right. Feels right.
Yes, so as Wanda and Agatha continue their battle, and as she finally gets her suit properly, she ends up trapping Agatha into becoming Agnes, basically permanently.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, she can never, ever go back to Agnes and let her be that way forever and ever.
Absolutely. And I got to say, like, I found it interesting that they ended the show in a way where all the Westview residents, they hate her now. They hate Wanda all the way through. Like, they already did. But
you know,
now it's like,
you know, that's going to like, you know, they're going to speak out, and like, this might be a thing that like goes out around the like America, at least, where it becomes like this thing, like she did this, and now that's why she's isolating. Well, we'll get to that, but
So after Wanda realized it, and then, you know, Monica comes up to her and says, look, a lot of these people won't realize what you sacrificed. And I'll admit, part of me is like, okay, I get it. You sympathize with Wanda. But in retrospect, this is like a whole community of a town, you know, and they were all basically under Wanda's control against their will to, and it's not a great look. And all these citizens are definitely going to run their mouths to everybody else around the world, and it's going to spread, you know? So it's like, yes, I sympathize with Wanda, obviously. And in regards to her finally having to say goodbye to her kids and to Vision, I found that to be incredibly touching.
Oh yeah, they took their time with that, and they should let that like brew, and yet having that moment to say goodbye to the kids one on one, and then say goodbye to Vision, like I didn't cry, but like a very sweet moment.
It's very sweet. Yeah, I didn't cry either, but it was definitely a very heartfelt moment. And like I said, emotionally in regards to Wanda's arc, I think this finale succeeds. You know, I have my nitpicks, as I mentioned, in regards to how things turn out. You know, like it definitely kind of follows the typical Marvel finale formula of like people fighting, you know, like in CGI battles. And instead of a blue portal in the sky, it's a red portal in the sky. You know,
back to portals again.
Yeah, like
it's like 2012 like all over again.
Every CGI blockbuster of the last 10 years has to have a blue portal in the sky. So it's red. You know, it's different this time. You know, a
different
big
colors.
Red beam instead. Yeah, you know, but like it's part of her power, so I get it. And overall, like, she ends up going into exile. She exiles herself away from Westview, away from, you know, the States, basically. And the word is going to go out to everybody else in regards to what Wanda did. And I'm curious as to how the rest of her fellow Avengers are going to react to this.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, like, well, this is probably Doctor Strange, because their power sets are similar-ish.
Yeah,
And
that's worth mentioning. Agatha mentions, like, as they're battling, you as the Scarlet Witch, you are more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
You know, and so that obviously
really, really, really super quick. I noticed on the marquee of the theater when shit was going down, it said Oz the Great and the Powerful at one point. And Sam Raimi directed that movie. It was super quick, but I was like, oh, cool.
That's a nice nod, obviously, you know. And I know, like, people are thinking, you know, oh, with Far From Home and with WandaVision now, they're just teasing us with the multiverse. Well, we'll get that. We're gonna see, guys. Like, it's coming. Doctor Strange 2 is literally called The Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, it's literally in the title, so.
We'll get there, and I wouldn't be so my guess is that in regards to No Way Home, I think all the stuff that happened in Westview will just probably be in the news as, like, Peter is looking at it and realizing, what did she do? Something's going on. And then that's how
this took place before the sequel to Spider-Man.
I believe so, or maybe that it takes place adjacent to it. You know, maybe it's one of those things. That's how I see a lot of the Marvel shows coming up. I feel like Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision are taking place around the same time, kind of.
Which would be a couple weeks after Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, Sam and Bucky are doing their thing, Wanda is having her trouble. And it'd be cool if, like, Sam and Bucky, it doesn't need to do this. What if Sam and Bucky look at the news and going, like, what's Wanda doing? You know, what's going on with her? You know,
maybe we see something. We see, like, in the news. Yeah.
And then there's that. And there are two post-credit scenes in this one. The first one, Monica, it's a setup for Captain Marvel 2, basically.
Pretty much.
You know, we see that, and it's really exciting that they're already building that up, and we're likely going to see more about the Captain Marvel area of the MCU with Ms. Marvel likely later this year, which I'm looking forward to. You know, it's a fun little scene that sets it up. This is basically where Marvel's doing their typical, like, world building again, like setting things up for the credit scene, which is always something fun to look at when you're a fan. And the very last credit scene, which is the real one that people are looking to when it comes to Doctor Strange. I wouldn't be surprised if this scene was actually directed by Sam Raimi.
You think so? I mean,
because I'll say this, the camera moves, mm-hmm. the cabin and everything else, you know, the way it moves around. Very horror-like, you know, as we know, Sam Raimi is, like, one of the best horror directors of all time. And the way it looks, and the way it's setting up, how eerie it feels. We see Wanda is in her own hex, and you hear her kids' voices. You hear their voices, you know, and
so they're not exactly in a good state. So we were under the impression that they just kind of, like, fell asleep and vanished.
And
all that fun stuff. So they're trapped somewhere.
Oh yeah. You know, so a lot of those things are still out there, and man, like, overall, like, it's so sad that all of this pandemic stuff has happened, because I'm really looking forward. I mean, obviously there are more important things in the world, but in regards to, like, the nerd stuff, because Doctor Strange 2 would be coming out this year, you know.
It was supposed to be WandaVision spring 2021, and then Doctor Strange, like, 1 or 2 months May. Later.
Yeah. Like in May, which, how hyped would we have been already if we got there and then that, it is what it is. They're filming Doctor Strange 2 right now. You know, I'm pretty sure Elizabeth Olsen is already filming, and I wouldn't be surprised if, I think it's safe to say Tom Holland, this is probably his movie that was on his contract. It wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, like, we'll find out.
Yeah, because this comes out after Spider-Man.
He had two movies on his contract, a new Spider-Man movie and a new Marvel movie. And because Doctor Strange is in No Way Home, I wouldn't be surprised if that means Tom Holland will be in Multiverse of Madness.
It would make sense looking at it now. Yeah,
definitely. And I got to say, like, in regards to the whole series, what do you think overall? Like, when you take all 9 episodes, John, how would you rate WandaVision overall? And as a show, and also in comparison as stories with the rest of the MCU movies as well.
I think I've stated it before, but I just feel like, looking back at it, it's just a nice, solid companion piece for the Marvel story in general. It gives us more fleshed out moments for these two characters, these two side characters. I think we're one of the weakest parts of the ensemble movies, because I like Civil War and Infinity War and Endgame a lot. But I do think, like, Wanda and Vision, there was no proper time to really give them those emotional moments, like, even, like, in Infinity War. I think it works well in the movie. But it could have, we didn't spend enough time with those characters to really feel that, even though it was done really well in those movies. I think this does a really good job of, like, as somebody who's a fan of Marvel, you have more to, like, to back yourself off on. I also think it's just a really fun show for casual fans that want to take a nostalgia trip of what TV was like over the past 50, 60 years, and also getting some good Marvel fun stuff that you can watch with your family or your parents or your spouse, whoever you're watching this with. It's just a nice little, it's not like it's comfort food. There's more there to it. There's a deeper, another complaint I've had of Marvel is that there's not enough emotion, but lately they've been doing that. I think this is this has emotional payoff, and it's a solid little piece of Marvel candy to get you warmed up for what's coming next.
Yeah, I see Marvel as the Marvel Cinematic Universe is very much a candy store of a franchise. You know, like they're definitely
not a bad
some
thing.
Candy, not a bad thing. You know, it's and in regards to some movies in there feel more like bargain bin candy, which is fun in the moment, but it's kind of disposable. I'd say WandaVision is like between that and at its best, it's like the gourmet kind of candy, you know, like especially in regards to like how it really delves deep into Wanda as a character. And it's a fun ride. It's a fun ride. It's an emotional ride when it gets really great. And if people just realize that maybe, you know, Jack Schaefer and Matt Shakman, you know, Jack Schaefer, she's the creator of the show, the showrunner of the show. They wanted to tell the story they wanted to tell. And I feel like in regards to Wanda herself and talking about her as a character study, I feel like they succeeded. I think people, when they come to Marvel movies these days, they want world building exclusively more than they want character development. And I think those priorities should be the other way around. And I think they did it well here. But I wouldn't be upset if they did better with the world building. And also, I really don't want them to keep doing this whole fake out joke stuff, because that's another I'm a big fan of this franchise, but one thing that I get really tired of from the franchise is the fake out stuff, you know, because it really annoys me with the stakes that it should have, you know. And that's what I loved about Infinity War and Endgame, is that they upped the stakes significantly. And I get it for Far From Home, because Mysterio is a con artist, so it makes sense why he's a liar, you know. But I hope that Marvel doesn't do it as much anymore. And I'm hopeful that with what's coming up with Doctor Strange 2 and Spider-Man No Way Home, I'm looking forward to what they got. And I think Wanda is probably going to be the most exciting character coming forward in regards to what we have so far, just in terms of the emotion she has. And I have a feeling she is going to be at the center of many of the conflicts for not just Doctor Strange, but for all of the Avengers that we know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she's kind of a breaking point for the team when they have to look, we're going to get a new Avengers movie eventually. And I'm curious to see what that's going to look like. And I wouldn't be surprised if Wanda is at the center of the conflict there. And if they find a way to I consider her at this point, she's an anti-hero now. Yeah. You know, she was a hero initially. I mean, she was villainous initially because of obvious Sokovia. And then she joined the Avengers as a hero, but volatile. And now through WandaVision post everything else, I feel like she's a full-blown anti-hero at this point. And her dynamic with Stephen Strange is going to be something that I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But yeah, so, man, we did it. That was WandaVision.
It's insane. It's the first of many, too. The first of many shows.
We are 2 weeks away from the next show, man. How crazy is that?
We are spoiled.
We are spoiled. And March is the most busy month in regards to new content for streaming services and movies and stuff in a whole year, really.
Mm-hmm. But on top of the movies that are coming out and Marvel shows and it's Godzilla and Kong coming out at the end of the month.
You have a lot coming out. Snyder Cut coming out. A lot of big things are coming out this month. And then more, you know, theaters are slowly starting to reopen, hopefully in California soon, obviously with the mandates that we need, you know. And I'm pretty excited for what is in store, not just from Marvel and Disney Plus, but for what other streaming services have coming up. I mean, Paramount Plus officially rebranded this week you know. I'm not hearing great things about Sponge on the Run, you know, but like it's new, it's more stuff, like it's more movies and TV shows to check out, and hopefully there's going to be some gems to be found in all these streaming services, although it's getting really tiring that there's so many streaming services. But what can
you do? It's like how many are you going to subscribe to, really? How much can you afford is what it comes down to.
I never considered Paramount Plus, but then I saw all those announcements and I'm thinking, okay, I'll wait for more shows to come out, like I did maybe with Apple TV Plus, you know, hearing about Ted Lasso. But I will consider it, because that announcement from them about like Avatar Studios and producing a new Avatar movie, you know, animated, which I'm pretty sure would be like a sequel to the original series. Oh man, no, like I have to subscribe at that point. But
yeah, they're getting a lot of people with that for sure. It's like a big hook.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, that has been our discussion on the series finale of WandaVision, and that's been the finale of our discussion of the show in general. I can't believe 8 weeks have gone by fast. Obviously, we had to kind of change the format up. Yeah, what is time, man? We had to change the format up because we had situations in our lives, obviously. But I got to say, it worked out well given the way our first episode was just two episodes in one. And given my sense of OCD, I felt like it all worked out in the end. And I got to say, John, thank you so much for being part of these discussions. And it's always a pleasure to have you on this podcast to discuss these things.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. And it's been a pleasure talking about this. I've been looking forward to it every other week or so. And this week, a week and a half, give or take. But yes, it's always fun talking Marvel with you. We have a fun, we gush out, and it's, the speculation is never ending.
Yes, I look forward to having more discussions with you on anything in the future, not just Marvel and everything else, but anything in general. It's always great to just talk with a friend like you and just to have you on, and just to we need more fun discussions with our friends, guys, on these things. Even in like times like this, we just need to just blow off some steam and have some fun, you know, just talking about stuff we love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And where can people find you?
Everybody can find me at Mothman Jones and John Maffio on pretty much any social media platform you can find, and on YouTube.
All right, so that was John Maffio. And once again, I am Noah Villaverde, host of Blank Green Canvas. You could find this podcast through Anchor and on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and there are other numerous podcast services that you could consume this content on. This will also be available, as you may be seeing this on YouTube, a video portion of this. If you wanted to see me and John's handsome faces online discussing WandaVision, of course, you could check out YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, feel free to subscribe to Blank Green Canvas and to Mathman Jones, because also, if you like our video right here, you'll help the algorithm and boost it so we continue to build a much more happy community than Westview.
Westview is far gone now.
Far gone now. You know, it's not a happy place now. It wasn't a happy place, honestly, but
lots of gossip at the water cooler in that town now.
Oh, definitely. You know, but overall, once again, thank you so much for watching our videos and watching and listening to our podcast here. And if you wanted to see more, obviously, once again, please subscribe. You could follow Blank Green Canvas on Facebook. Just look up Blank Green Canvas. You could also follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Noah_Villaverde. And basically, just expect more to come in the next few weeks, because I have a lot of things that I have been developing in regards to video essays and reviews. Obviously, still trying to take care of a few things here at the house, but you can expect more content to come. And until next time, I am Noah Villaverde of the Blank Green Canvas podcast, and
I am John Maffio, aka Mothman Jones.
And we will see you very soon, perhaps soaring, flying with a nice red, white, and blue shield. Bye, everyone.
Who could that be?
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye.